listening to the Lutheran Ladies Lounge podcast. I'm Sarah.
I'm Erin.
And I'm Rachel.
I'm very excited for today. This was totally like we threw a last minute episode together. And however, it's going to be so fun because it is an adventure in Lutheran homeschooling edition. Lutheranism homeschooling edition. This was a bit of a pivot, but I don't even care because I'm super stoked about this. Yeah.
Literally, it was less than 24 hours ago you, Sarah, were like, I don't think our episode is coming together by Friday. What do you think about this, Rachel?
What if I just hummed pomp and circumstance under the entire episode?
Yes.
About graduation.
In full disclosure, the Friday that this episode drops, I will be graduating the next day with my master's degree. And I was like, let's do graduation. But it was just not. It was just not. And you know what? Life of podcasting. Yeah. Sometimes we pivot and we pivoted to Lutheran homeschooling. Rachel, tell us what we're talking about today and experiencing, I think, which is going to be fun.
Learning by doing.
Yes.
So this has come up several times lately because my spring is very, very eaten up with one particular activity to the point where the two of you just finally said, let's talk about this in a podcast episode.
Yes.
Not passive aggressive.
Yeah. And this is competitive speech and debate.
Yes.
So we'll start this properly. Imagine me holding out my name tag to you with a timer in my hand. Hello, judges. My name is Rachel Bomberger, and I will be your next podcast speaker today. Do the judges mind if I place my timer on the table? I have my timer set for zero, counting up. And if all my judges are ready, great. Let's begin.
Oh, I love it so much.
This story starts 3 years ago. We were coming out of some post-pandemic isolation of a serious kind. I'm sure you remember that.
Mm-hmm.
And I was desperate for anything that would get myself and my four homeschooled children out of the house and into companionship with other Christian homeschool kids. And we were living at the time in a small town, southeastern Connecticut, where there aren't a lot of, well, Christian homeschoolers. We know a lot of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nor are there a lot of Christian homeschool enrichment activities. Mm-hmm. So when I heard about Speech Club, I thought to myself, I don't know, but it's something. It's something. Okay. And then when I found out that this particular speech club met in the basement of our church, I was like, great. The kids will at least feel at home there.
That's true.
Yeah.
And so I signed them all up, all four of them, for Speech Club in the basement of Christ Lutheran Church in Niantic, Connecticut. And they hated it.
Okay.
Twist! Mega twist!
They did. Well, I mean, they thought that extracurricular activities were supposed to be mostly fun, not mostly homework.
This is not what I expected at all.
No, they really did. They didn't understand it. There's a lot of lingo involved. They didn't understand the events. They didn't understand the rules. They didn't understand the point.
Yeah.
And so I was figuring, I said, we'll do it for one season. One season. Just give me one fall, because fall is the preparation season.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And then I managed to talk one child into taking one speech to one tournament that spring. This was my son. And he went. And he came back. And he was like, you guys, this is amazing.
Yes!
Okay.
And so the next year, he was back, not with one speech at one tournament, but with two speeches and a debate case at three tournaments.
Oh.
Okay.
Exponential.
We added one mid-season, and then he qualified for regionals, so that was four tournaments, and then he qualified for nationals, and that was five tournaments. So, and his sisters sort of got dragged along with him, but then they really quickly saw that it was their thing too.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Mm-hmm.
And now we are a competitive speech and debate family.
Okay.
Thus far, the story.
I love this.
So we are members of a league known as NCFCA, which most people forget what it actually stands for. It stands for National Christian Forensics and Communication Association, but nobody ever says that.
Interesting.
Okay. It was founded in 1997 as a division of the Homeschool Legal Defense Association, which any homeschooler out there probably has heard of, HSLDA. They were a huge advocacy group that is in large part responsible for the patchwork of very permissive homeschool laws around the country that in the 90s, in a lot of places, you had to fight to be a homeschooler, and they sort of led the fight.
Huh.
So they understood that it was very important to have this generation of homeschoolers whose parents had fought so hard to give them the right to homeschool. It was very important for them to be equipped to communicate well, to defend their values, their positions.
Yeah.
And so it's sort of a natural outgrowth of that organization. This is the same group that led to the founding of Patrick Henry College, where Dr. Jean Edward Veith was provost for a number of years.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. It's all connected.
Huh.
And they have a mission of fostering a vibrant community of Christian speakers and debaters.
Okay.
It's not the only league. In 2009, and I believe they split off from NCFCA, but I'm not sure. Don't quote me on that particularly, but that's what I've heard. There's another league known as STOA, which is not an acronym. I was surprised. Most people assume it is. It's a Greek term for a place of gathering.
Oh.
So it's sort of a forum type meaning there. So there is another major homeschool speech and debate league known as STOA. I've never been affiliated with STOA, but I know people that are, and it sounds like their experience is very similar. The two big differences are that STOA is more locally run, whereas NCFCA is more of a national organization, and that STOA serves exclusively privately educated homeschool families and students, whereas NCFCA includes some Christian schoolers and others in their league.
Interesting.
So yeah, we got these two big leagues, and there are, you know, other speech and debate leagues out there. These are the two that I know about that are really well suited to Christian homeschool families.
Mm-hmm.
So what is competitive speech and debate, and how is it structured?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I like to think of it like, imagine a 3-day track meet for nerds.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
I'm here for this.
Okay.
That's a marathon, though. Holy moly.
Yeah, it really is. Holy. And unlike the average track meet, which is like 8 hours, these are like 3 14-hour days.
Oh, my word.
But just like in a track meet, there are a number of events that play to different people's strengths. And many people compete in multiple events.
Okay.
It's mostly solo events, but there are a few partner events.
Ooh.
And those are really fun. So I'll take you through the basic events that are usually present. Sometimes, and we're still waiting to hear what next year holds, they'll swap in and out events for a particular season.
Oh. Okay.
But the basics pretty much stay the same. So first off, we have our platform speaking events. And these are, imagine your basic high school essay, either informative or persuasive, you know, with your sources and your good rhetorical principles. And they are scripted and memorized, which is always a challenge, memorizing a 10-minute speech.
Yeah.
And in with this group, we also have digital presentation, which can be either persuasive or informative and involves the use of slides. Great practice for being in the corporate world, by the way.
Sure.
Wow.
Then you have the interpretation speeches, which are for the literary and theater kids. These speeches all take a published work of some kind and condense it and bring it to life.
Oh.
In like a one person or a two person 10-minute play.
Huh. Interesting.
So the speeches we have in this area this year are open interpretation, which is where one person takes a published literary work, condenses it into a 10-minute speech, and then brings it to life with all the characters and the blocking. And these are great to watch.
Okay.
Wow.
Even more fun than this is the duo interpretation. Same basic concept, only two people. So you've got a whole lot more dramatic possibility there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You've got original interpretation where the speaker writes a story of their own, then memorizes it, brings it to life with characters and blocking and all of that.
Wow.
This is a And then you've got usually some kind of biblical interpretation. This year we're doing biblical thematic, which involves memorizing big chunks of scripture, usually a narrative portion of scripture, and then interspersing it with like literary selections that sort of bring out a theme.
Huh.
It's a cool thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, finally, to round out our 10 speech events, you've got the limited prep events. These are the ones where you come in almost cold, make up a speech and give it.
Okay.
You've got extemporaneous, where you have 20 minutes and a database of news stories, but no internet access to come up with a 7-minute speech on some sort of current event news item.
Oh, my.
You've got apologetics, where you have 4 minutes and a box of note cards to prep for a 6-minute speech answering some question about God or the Bible. And then you've got impromptu, where you have 2 minutes to come up with a 5-minute speech on a prompt. And you will not know what the prompt is until you walk into the room.
Okay.
So those are our speech events.
Wow.
And they are all challenging in their own way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then you've got your debate. And our league generally does 2 kinds of debate. Team policy debate, where you have partners who are debating a resolution. And it goes back and forth between domestic and international affairs. The one they're debating this year has to do with the United States reforming its policy to do with a Central American country. They've got a long list, but it doesn't include Panama. So all of Central America except Panama, mostly. And then Lincoln Douglas values debate, which is a little bit less like government-y and more philosophy. Huh. So the resolution for Lincoln Douglas this year, which one of my kids is doing, is in combat, the use of automation should be valued over the use of military personnel. We've talked about this earlier when we were talking with Dr. Stiegmeier on our Kitchen Table Talks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so she has to be prepared to argue both sides of this.
Yeah.
That either automation is good or automation is not good, mm-hmm. and come at it from some sort of satisfying philosophical point of view.
Yeah. Okay. And then the day of, she's told you're going to have this side.
Yes. So in each tournament, she knows that in the preliminary round, she'll have to argue each side 3 times.
Okay.
Wow.
Okay.
Against different opponents.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Right. There are other kinds of debate. I believe from one of my friends that STOA offers parliamentary debate, which I'm not as familiar with. And some NCFCA clubs also offer moot court.
Hmm. Oh.
So this is great preparation for anyone who is interested in a career in law or politics, obviously. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the next generation of Christian leaders. So the way it works, and I touched on this a little bit earlier, students prepare speeches and debate cases throughout the summer and the fall, and competition season usually starts in November or December, really gets going in January, and then runs through April or May, with nationals usually in June for those that qualify. The qualifying tournaments usually run Thursday through Saturday with these long, long days. And some national mixers go like Monday through Thursday or even Monday through Friday.
Oof.
So it's a commitment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I can't speak of how STOA does this, but in NCFCA, all affiliated families must subscribe to the Nicene Creed, which was no problem at all for us.
Yeah.
And affirm biblical positions on marriage and sexuality.
Okay.
And possibly also biblical authority. I can't remember that much. Most are homeschooled. It's not exclusive to homeschoolers, though practically speaking, if you're going to go to 3 or more tournaments on Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays, it's very hard to make that work with a school schedule. They will call mm-hmm. you and ask where you are.
Yeah.
But there are some private schools that have their own clubs and make it part of their curriculum.
Right. Yeah.
The senior competitors all have to be between 12 and 18, and they all get lumped in together. So you could have a 12-year-old in a debate with an 18-year-old.
Oh, wow.
Which is really great for the 12-year-olds, by the way.
Yeah.
They grow up real fast.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And then they also offer junior speech clubs, activities, and tournaments for competitors ages 7 through 11. So I have one junior and one senior this year. Next year, I will have two seniors. That will be fun.
Oh, 7-year-olds doing debate.
The juniors only do speeches. They don't usually do debates. And their tournaments are only like half a day instead of 3 days long. So it's a lot easier to be a junior.
Well, yeah.
But once you age up into that senior range, you just got to be ready to hit the ground running.
Yeah.
Okay.
So what can you expect at a speech tournament? Well, speeches in all of the categories, parents usually spend a lot. If you're not on a staff role, you know, like helping run the tournament, parents are spending all day judging students.
Oh,
because each speech room is judged by a panel of 3 judges.
Mm-hmm.
And each debate room has 1 judge in the preliminary rounds and then 3 judges in the out rounds and 5 judges in the finals.
Whoa.
They usually get in some celebrities for the final debate rounds, you know, like local politicians and such.
Uh-huh. Oh, very cool.
And so the parents are as busy as the kids. Mm-hmm. It's really fun. Really, really exhausting. And you can expect to hear speeches on all sorts of things. I have learned so much this year from these smart kids. I have heard platform speeches on whistleblowers, on informed medical consent, on sharks that live on the East Coast of the United States.
What?
On the Mothman, JFK assassination, the ethics of fast fashion.
Oh,
the evangelization of Nagaland in India, which is like one of the most Baptist places in the world, apparently.
Interesting.
Sarah, you'll like this. I heard a persuasive speech on why everyone should own a cat.
Yes! Agreed.
So it really runs the gamut, and it's really interesting. My girls did speeches in these categories on the Turkish archaeological site Göbekli Tepe, on the happy hormones, that is to say serotonin, oxytocin, and dopamine.
Yes, mm-hmm. I like it.
And my junior did one on why everyone should eat more cabbage.
Yes. She's a bomb burger.
Yes.
That is amazing.
On the interpretation side, as we call it, interp side, I've seen, again, these amazing 10-minute distillations of some really great books like Hannah Hernard's Hide and Speed on High Places, T.H. White's The Once and Future King, Alexandre Dumas' Three Musketeers,
oh, yes,
Carlotti's Pinocchio, and of course, Hank the Cowdog. As long as it's a published work, it's fair game.
out of our
household, we have an interp speech on Peter Pan this year, which is looking at it not through the lens of growing up, but from the lens of the importance of mothers, which is a really interesting angle.
That's cool.
I'm really proud of her. And then of course we have our limited prep speeches, the extemp for extemporaneous, the impromptu, and apologetics. And apologetics has got to be my favorite event. So, of course, none of my kids will do it.
Of course.
Each of the kids in this event has to be prepared to answer randomly assigned questions from a list of about 100 basic questions that people out in the real world ask. That you should be, as a Christian, prepared to answer these questions
like
when people ask them.
Confirmation examination.
It is.
Yeah. But yeah. Like, very similar.
Harder.
Yeah. So questions for apologetic students might include things like, is God all powerful? Is the Bible reliable? Is hell real? One of my personal favorites, is the Bible demeaning to women?
Oh, boy.
And so they have to be prepared with scripture and other evidence to make a case for how they would answer the question and support it.
Huh.
And it's and do so in a winsome and compelling way.
Yeah.
It is a great, great event. So that is speech and debate in a nutshell. I have some questions from you guys.
Yeah.
That I had asked you when you said yesterday afternoon, hey, Rachel, what about an episode on speech and debate? Uh-huh. I was like, yeah, okay, but help me out here. What do you want to know?
Yeah.
So we'll go through and I will answer all the questions that you guys gave me, and then we'll talk about it a little bit more.
Okay.
So Sarah, you asked, how is this part of the kids' education? Well, they have to read literary works to make interp speeches. They have to gain a comprehensive knowledge of government and philosophy for debate.
Uh-huh.
They have to learn rhetorical principles, research, writing, personal presentation, poise, how not to play with their hair when they're speaking in public. No, this touches on so many different subjects.
Yeah.
Theology is in there as well, theater, drama. And depending on the topics that they choose, for example, you know, the happy hormone speech worked perfectly in tandem with her ninth grade biology course.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So it really, there's lots of ways that it touches on that. We have learned so much in all of these areas.
Mm-hmm.
So it is definitely a part of their education.
I love it.
How did they get involved? I think I told that one already.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You
stuck our toe in the whirlpool and got sucked in. That's it. This might sound boring for kids, but why do your kids love it?
No.
Friends.
Why do they love it?
Friends, that's it. What happens at an event? I think we went through that.
Yep.
What's the craziest thing they've had to debate?
Ooh.
So last year, the team policy resolution was very broad. It was just what I'm paraphrasing here, but the U.S. government should change something relating to Department of Transportation policy.
Wow.
And some of the cases that got thrown up there were crazy. Everything from the fine print on airline promotional materials to helmet laws to stop arm cameras on school buses.
Oh.
To space junk. There was a lot of fun there, and I look forward to seeing what will happen in the future.
Yeah.
What am I most proud of them for?
Whew.
I mean, there's a lot to be proud of. I think I'm most proud of them for getting back up and doing it again, even after they've had a really bad round.
Mm.
Especially with some of the limited prep events, as you guys are actually going to find out in a few minutes.
Oh, no.
If you get a bad prompt and there's nothing much you can do with it, you can come out just feeling like the universe has collapsed on you.
Oh, yeah.
And then to get up 4 or 5 hours later and do it again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It takes a lot of guts.
Yeah.
Or to get up and do a speech and then get your ballots back and get a lot of constructive criticism.
Oh,
I don't take criticism well. Mm-hmm. This is a great pastime for you to learn how to take criticism.
That's true.
Because that's if you have a heart that will accept criticism, that will engage with it, that will turn around, make changes to your speech, to your delivery of your speech, and show up at the next tournament with those changes in place,
mm-hmm.
you can do some damage.
Yeah.
Because we're all there to help each other.
Mm-hmm.
And so seeing them learn how to go from this defensive, bristly posture when it comes to receiving feedback to actually welcoming it and saying, okay, it was a little harsh, but I can use this.
Mm-hmm.
It's fair criticism. And if I listen to it, it will make it better.
Yeah.
And that is a skill that it took me probably 40 years almost mm-hmm. to learn.
Yeah.
But they're learning it as teenagers.
That's awesome.
So I'm very proud of them for that.
Yeah.
Okay, so Aaron asked one question.
And Sarah says, all these questions. To be fair, it was in one message. All of her questions were there. And I was like, well, those are great questions. So I was like, I got to come up with at least one question.
I actually have another one to throw into the ring after you answer Aaron's too. I just thought about
Sarah's
it.
Sarah's job is asking people questions
to make my job. Them talk.
And so she's got an extra skill here.
Rachel's like, what do you want me to talk about? And I was like, I will give you a list.
Okay, well, I have a really long answer prepared for Aaron's question. So Sarah, if you have a short one, throw it right in there.
I'm just curious how you judge these, because if parents are judging them, I'm curious like what you're actually looking for and how you judge what's good and what's bad.
That's a great question. Wonderful question.
Thanks.
So each event has its own ballot.
What is a ballot?
And the ballots sort of guide you in your thinking.
Yeah. Okay.
So, for example, and the ballots occasionally change from year to year. We're just overcoming. I don't like change. We are navigating a new ballot this year for all the platform speeches. So that one I know pretty well. So you have, you know, you've got general comments that you could make, but then you are prompted to provide feedback in four areas: content, academic integrity, that is to say how much support they have for their arguments or their points, physical delivery, and vocal delivery.
Oh, okay.
And so you judge them on that. In interpretation speeches, you have five areas: content, organization, characterization, physical delivery, and impact, I think. I don't have a ballot in front of me right now.
No, I threw this.
So in each of those areas, you offer feedback, and you have the opportunity in each of those areas to give them 1 to 5 stars, which is how they're ranked and how we decide who ranks highest in the room.
Okay.
And so if you are able to offer feedback in any of those areas, then it's really helpful for them because then they can learn from that experience. And so if you get 3 ballots per room, it adds up into a body of really helpful feedback for you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now on to Erin's question.
Yes.
She said, I would be curious to know why you think speech and debate matters or how it particularly benefits your kids.
Mm.
And I will say, I'm glad you asked. So I started to come up with a top 10 reasons why I love speech and debate for my kids, but it kept growing. So if you look on the script for this episode, you will see top 10 scratched out, 11 scratched out, 12 scratched out, Baker's dozen. Top Baker's dozen of reasons why I love speech and debate for my kids. Number 1, reading with purpose.
Okay.
I have some reluctant readers and writers, and a lot of times they will ask, what is the point? And knowing that I also have some kids who love to be dramatic and love the interp speeches, you've got to always be consuming literature and evaluating whether or not it would be a good speech. And so I just today assigned one of my kids an annotated bibliography of 5 books, summarizing them and evaluating whether or not they would make good interpretive speeches.
Wow.
Interpretation speeches. And before we had joined speech and debate, had I devised an assignment like this for this child, she would have looked at me like I was crazy. Rather than saying, oh, okay, yeah.
That's
okay.
Awesome.
Okay.
All right. So 2, writing with purpose. Same thing.
Yeah.
One thing that students really struggle with is learning to be writers without any reason. For writing. Why should I know how to write? Because you need to know how to write.
Right.
Whereas speech and debate, why should I know how to write? So you can write a winning speech, connect with your judges, change the world, and beat your friends.
There you go. Great.
And if you write really well, you can advance to regional or even national tournaments and make this whole fun adventure last a little longer in the spring. So that's it. That has been very helpful. 3, critical thinking. Especially the debate kids, they get to learn how to listen, how to take apart arguments, how to come up with answers to those arguments that are supported, hopefully, by evidence, and how to present those all on the fly.
Yeah.
Which brings us to 4, agile thinking. As you all are about to find out in a few minutes.
Oh, no.
Speech and debate definitely makes it so that you have to think on your feet. If for no other reason than that it will help them with any job interviews that they ever do, it's worth doing to be asked a question, given a prompt that you were not expecting, and have to come up with an intelligent, meaningful answer.
Oh, boy.
That's really helpful. 5, it gives them a creative outlet.
Yeah.
All kids have creativity, and there's something for just about all of them in this panoply of events. As I found out this spring, even the artists are able to do something in their digital presentations.
Yeah.
So that you can create slides to go with your speech. We did our first ever digital presentation this spring, and it was a combination of graphic design, finding good photographs, but also there was some like cartooning that went on for it.
Oh, yeah.
That sounds
It was really fun to watch come together.
Mm-hmm. That's the one that I would do.
Yeah. For a creative outlet, it also has been great for my kids who are naturally drawn to performance, especially theater. And I've struggled a while with how to allow them to express those dramatic abilities because not every community theater group is one that I think would be a good and wholesome environment for a Christian homeschool student.
Yeah.
Whereas this allows them to practice their dramatic skills in a community that is very wholesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
All right, number six, professional collaboration.
Mm.
I am not a team player. I always struggled throughout my schooling with group projects. But the students who participate in team policy or duo interpretation events, and most students do one or the other of those because they tend to fall into those categories.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not most. A lot of students do one or the other of those. They learn how to work together as a team because they have to bring those different perspectives, different working styles into alignment. And even those that are not working as a team, you know, in a duo or team policy setting, in speech clubs, they often collaborate in giving each other ideas and feedback and learning how to function in a corporate team environment so that it's second nature to them.
Mm-hmm.
Number seven, ballot feedback.
Mm.
I just love the fact that other people are pouring ideas, advice, guidance, criticism into my children. I can tell my child, your hair is in your face. Get your hair out of your face. Nobody can see your beautiful eyes. How are you possibly going to be expressive if you're going to wear your hair that way? But if one parent who's not me puts it on a ballot, it happens. The bobby pins come out.
Yes. I love it.
And that goes across the board. The fact that other smart, loving, faithful parents are willing to listen, to engage, and to guide my speakers makes me just really, really grateful. And it makes me want to turn around and do the same for their kids.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Number eight, confidence and poise. This sort of goes without saying, but they learn confidence and they also learn poise because they get graded. Remember, all the speeches grade them on physical delivery.
Right.
Yeah.
And so they learn how to walk in and own a room. They learn how to stand with good posture, how to use appropriate gestures and facial expressions, how to make eye contact, which I don't know if you've heard is kind of a dying art.
Yeah. Mm.
They learn all of those things sort of in the crucible of the speech tournaments.
Yeah.
Number nine, tournament attire.
Oh.
I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. So there are dress codes for tournaments. You can't just show up in whatever you got on.
Okay.
And they are strict.
Oh.
Our dress code requires young men to be either in a suit and tie or pants, blazer, and tie.
Wow.
Which is basically the same thing.
14 hours?
Yep.
Whoa.
Girls can wear dresses or pants, dress, blouse, and blazer, or pants suit with blazer. Uh-huh. And if the dress has no sleeves, they have to wear a blazer with it.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Wow.
So
we
now own more blazers than I would ever have thought possible.
Okay.
And the skirts have to be mid-knee length. There's a couple other guidelines.
Wow.
So these kids basically spend 14 hours a day dressed up for a job interview.
Yeah.
And I was impressed, especially recently, watching the State of the Union address or the joint session of Congress address. I guess they didn't have a State of the Union this year. Looking around the room and realizing, oh, this is how people dress on Capitol Hill.
Uh-huh.
All the time.
Yeah.
These kids know how to do this.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Uh-huh.
And that's a good thing for the world.
Yeah.
Number 10, scholarships and quote unquote transcript bling.
I was wondering about that. Yeah.
Yeah. There are scholarships. In fact, Concordia Seward offers a scholarship for those who will be competing on their speech and debate teams.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
That is cool.
Yes, they do. The school that a couple of my kids go to, Regent, if you are a national champion in NCFCA, you get a full ride scholarship.
Whoa. Okay.
Yeah. Nice. No, there's a lot. There's a lot out there. If you're not looking for them, you won't know that they're there.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Wow, that's
legit. But it looks great on a transcript, on a college application, on a scholarship application.
Yeah.
Number 11, encouragement in their faith and values.
Mm.
There are a lot of different church groups represented. I wish there were more Lutherans, to be honest, but we live on the East Coast. I'm sure that in the Midwest, they're a lot thicker on the ground. But knowing that everyone has this shared confession of the Nicene Creed,
mm-hmm.
is just wonderful. Yeah. Wonderful. And to be around all these faithful people just is such an encouragement to them.
Yeah.
It makes being a Christian cool.
Yeah.
Which is awesome.
Yeah.
Number 12, practice defending their faith and their Lutheran confession.
Because
these kids get in theological debates. I heard one recently between an evangelical, a Presbyterian Church of America member, Orthodox, and Lutheran.
Oh, boy. Okay.
And they learn to have these, they're all friends. Mm-hmm. They learn to have these loving, collegial conversations, but also be able to articulate and defend their point of view in a variety of contexts.
Yeah.
That's great. And number 13, my baker's dozen. They just have made the best friends through this. People who are fun, creative, smart, godly, young people. And it has really changed our life for the better.
That's awesome.
Nice.
So does that answer your question, Aaron?
Yes. Yes, it does.
Okay, good.
Thoroughly.
Yes. Good. Thoroughly.
Thank you.
All right. So the only reason I don't love speech and debate, it's a huge investment. Oh, my goodness. Time. And resources and the opportunity costs. Like, we have cut out stuff to make space for this.
Yeah.
I think it's worth every penny, but other people might find the cost a little too high. So caveat emptor, buyer beware. Because each of these tournaments is a couple hours from home. So commuting is not really an option. So there's, you know, hotel fees and food and gas and tournament fees. And of course, all those blazers, even if you get them from the thrift store, they add up.
Yeah.
So it is an investment. And as you have found, I go pretty much AWOL during tournament season when we're in tournaments. I'm like, I'll get back to you later. Bye.
It's true. Which is why we're talking about it.
Yes, it has been noticed. So that is speech and debate.
Okay.
I love it.
Are you guys ready to try it out? Because
I'm a little scared.
I am very excited.
So,
oh boy.
In order that the two of you can better understand what these smart kids go through, I thought I would give you both the opportunity to do an impromptu round on air.
Yes. Oh boy.
Okay.
So the way this works is I'll actually, if you can open up our never-ending chat.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
I'm going to give you each a prompt or two prompts. You get two prompts.
Okay.
Okay.
And then you will have 2 minutes. Hang on. Actually, pause this. I'm going to go grab a timer.
Oh, no.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm going to forget everything that I know in the next 10 minutes.
I know.
I will not know anything about anything.
You talk all the time on air in the moment. And
I'm asking questions of people. I don't have to know anything. I ask other people what they know.
All right, here we go. The standard issue kitchen timer.
Okay. Standard issue kitchen timer. Okay.
Yes, everyone has one of these. And we buy them in bulk.
I love it.
So whichever one of you wants to go first, I have box here. You can hear me shaking it around.
Oh my goodness.
Of practice impromptu prompts. Now, these can come from one of four categories. It would either be abstract words, phrases, quotations, or table topics. Normally, you would get two from the same category. Mm. However, in this case, I haven't sorted them, so I'm just going to pull two random ones.
Okay. I'm going you first. Have, I want
to
get
You then have this. 2 minutes to think about what you would like to say, and you can then give that speech. It has to be under 5 minutes.
Oh, it will be.
Yeah. First time impromptu people, if they can get like a minute and a half, they're doing great.
There you go.
Bonus points if your speech bonus points if your speech can start with like a hook or an anecdote, have a thesis, two or three main points supported by evidence, and a satisfactory conclusion.
What? They're just beasts. Oh my gosh.
I don't feel very smart today.
Yeah, well, my 12-year-old will be doing Friday this next year, so.
It's Friday of a long week, and it's still Lent when we're recording this.
Okay.
It's still Lent. All right, great. Okay, Aaron's going first. Yes. So I've got my magic box of practice prompts. I will pick two, and I will type them into the chat so you can reference them. Read them out loud. Oh, the other rule is you can actually scribble things down during your prep time, but you can't actually hold your notes while you speak.
Okay.
So, yeah, when you speak, all you can look at is the prompt.
We're going to have to be on honor system here because we both have laptops in front of us.
Yep. Oh, no, it's honor system. Okay, Aaron, I'm typing in your two prompts
Do we pick one?
You get to pick one.
Okay.
Okay.
And as it happens, these are both quotes, so... Okay, Aaron, I have your timer set for 2 minutes. I will read out your prompts, click send, and start the timer at the same time. So your two prompts, you have a choice. Number one is a show of envy is an insult to oneself. Number two, the best revenge is not to be like your enemy. And 2 minutes, go.
Time's up.
All right, Aaron, are you ready?
I am ready.
All right, I'm going to start the timer at zero, pointing up or going up, and we'll see how you do. All right, and go.
Imitation is the best form of flattery, but a show of envy is an insult to oneself. That is what came to mind with this particular prompt. Imitation being the best form of flattery really only works when it's someone else imitating you. When you are imitating someone else, that is, unless it's Paul saying, imitate me as Christ, You are saying that your own approach, the own skills and the skills that you have attained and the unique gifts that God has given you are insufficient. And that's why you need to pretend to be someone else. When you are doing that, if you are imitating someone else, it is typically because you want what they have, whether it is prestige or respect, popularity, anything along those lines. And again, that is dismissing the value that you have in and of yourself, that your Creator has endowed you with, that you have received in your baptism, and that you have gained through effort and experience and trial and error. So all that is to say that when you find yourself envying someone, it is a good opportunity to look at why that is and examine what's causing that and repent of that and embrace what God has given you and proceed to admire the person without envying them, and carry on. Thank you for your attention.
Hey! 2 minutes and 53 seconds.
That was great.
That was exhausting.
Okay.
I'm so nervous.
Thank you. Thank you, Aaron. So at this point, you would just say thank you. The kids would, you would go up and shake your judge's hand. And
yes.
Each one of them. Thank you for judging. Thank you for judging. Appreciate you taking the time to judge.
Mm-hmm.
They also learn to shake hands, by the way, and we coach them on how not to give a pathetic handshake.
Oh, this is the worst. So important.
Also, I hate shaking hands.
Well, we had to give it up during the pandemic.
I was not mad about that.
Relatively recent that it has come back. And so a lot of kids who got used to not shaking hands are now having to.
It's just
now having to do it again.
You weird do it.
To me to like touch people I don't know very well. It's just very strange. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah. That's okay. That's okay. See, I did not have speech and debate when I was a teenager. And I wish I had, because I'd be a lot less awkward now.
Same. Listening to you talk about this, I'm like, I really could have used this when I was a kid. My dad was in debate and he tells us all the time about how much he loved it and what he gained from it. So yeah, I wish my schools would have had it. This would have been, at least I think I'd wish that. Maybe I would have hated it as a kid. I don't know.
Maybe.
Are you typing my prompts?
I am.
I'm so nervous.
I know.
Don't judge me for my lack of knowledge.
I'm a speech judge, is what I do.
No! I don't want criticism.
But doing but the beautiful thing about it is that you do it in love. You know, when I judge somebody on a ballot, and most of the parents I've talked to or have looked over my kids' shoulders as they read their ballots, they're so loving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They'll never come out and say that speech was hot garbage. They will always say something like, consider adding a personal story, or next time try not mispronouncing this really obvious word. Oh, sorry, I'm a little snarky here. They're not snarky on the ballots. They're very compassionate, very loving, very constructive. We're all in this together to try and learn how to be more effective communicators. And the parents are very good to the kids, and the kids are very good to each other. It's a great community. All right, Sarah. You have two prompts. They're headed your way very shortly. Let me put your 2 minutes on the timer.
I'm so nervous.
Prompt number one. We stopped looking for monsters under our bed when we realized that they were inside us.
Oh, what?
Or two. The secret of getting ahead is getting started. And go.
Oh, wow. I feel so rushed for time.
Verbal processor.
I'm a verbal processor.
I can't do this. All right, prep time is up. Sarah, you are a professional communicator. How do you feel right now?
I'm gonna vomit. I'm a communicator, but I ask other people the questions. I don't have to actually just talk about stuff. So what's really funny, though, is that I'm preparing my TED Talk speech for my final project for my master's program right now. So like,
this is great practice.
This is great practice. Although I'll have to do that.
Your timer is set at 00 to count up. And are all her judges ready?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. All right. And go.
Never put off till tomorrow what you can do the day after tomorrow. This is terrible advice. Do not follow this, because the hardest part of getting started on anything is getting started itself. But if you're able to get over that hump of being terrified to start a project, it is likely that you'll be able to snowball that momentum and the project will end up finishing itself and you'll have no idea how it happened. It's very difficult to not wait. It's challenging to get out of the space of wonder. It's so fun to be in the wonder space and to think about all the things you could do and all the opportunities that exist. It's challenging to get out of that space because it's very scary to take the first step into any kind of project because you could fail. You could hate it. You could, I don't know, forget about it at some point and never go back to it. It's like all of those projects that we have in our closets that they just, we thought we wanted to do it. And then it just never finishes because something else got in the way, maybe, or we thought we wanted to do all of these things and it just never happened. And so the secret to getting ahead, I'm clapping very emphatically, is getting started. Because if you're able to work through your fears and if you're able to make the plan and then work that plan, you'll be able to finish things and you'll be able to snowball even more of your momentum to do even more things. Because if you're starting the project and you're not procrastinating, you are ahead of all of the people who are sitting there and procrastinating. So definitely do not put off till tomorrow what you can do today. That is even better advice. Thank you for listening to my TED Talk.
2 minutes and 23 seconds. Hey, not bad. Not bad.
Oh my God. That was amazing.
How's your heart rate?
I can tell you. No, it's not super high, actually.
Yeah, see?
It's not at 100 yet, so we're good.
No, that's great.
It was quite low when Aaron was talking, though, because I was stress-free. Like, wow,
two minutes feels so long when you're not the one preparing.
Right.
It's like, wow, this is... Did she really set a timer? Seems like it's just...
I know. I answered like five or six Facebook messages while Aaron was prepping. I was prepping. I was like, I don't know what words mean right now.
Yep. That's how it is. So yeah, my kids will be doing this. Well, not anymore this season because nobody made it to regionals in this category because they don't like to practice because it's nerve wracking.
But
the mere fact that they will step into that room and do it over and over again. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm proud of.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. I feel like it would get easier the more you do it too. If you like, get a process of like, I get a prompt and this is how I work through it.
And you see your improvement.
And
if you're taking the criticism, you can actually see how you've improved.
Yeah.
And this is cool.
Well, and what also happens with people who specialize in impromptu speaking is that they begin sort of collecting a library in their own minds of material, of quotes, of hymn verses, current events, Bible passages, literary synopses, personal anecdotes, anything they read. They just sort of collect it and then they've got it ready to go. Mm-hmm. And they also practice a lot so that they can sort of just integrate all those things on the fly.
Yeah.
It is quite an art form. And I threw you guys into it completely cold. So I'm very proud of you.
Yeah, thank you.
It's not easy.
No.
But it is good.
Yes.
And I'm really grateful that the Lord has sort of put this into our lives because it has been a net positive for all of us.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So if you are listening to all of this, and you happen to be a homeschooling family thinking, this sounds like something we could use in our lives, you can go to either of the websites for either of the leagues I mentioned, ncfca.org or stoausa.org. And either one of those, you can find a club. If you're very bold and there's no club in your area, you can start a club. That is not for the faint of heart. But you can also... At least in the NCFCA, you're allowed to compete on your own, that you can do all your speech prep on your own and then just show up at tournaments and compete.
Yeah.
There are people who do that, especially if there aren't enough families in their area who are interested in it.
Yeah.
And if you are not a homeschooling family, but you're interested in all of this, Perhaps your kids are grown and you've got free time on your hands and you're curious about what it's all about. NCFCA, at least, always welcomes and tries to recruit community judges for their tournament, where you can go in and donate some of your time to offer constructive feedback to students who are competing. And so if you go to ncfca.org and click the judge tab at the top, it will allow you to learn about the various events, find upcoming tournaments that may be nearby. And if you do sign up to judge at a tournament, you will get welcomed and treated so well because we love our judges. They make it so parents don't have to do quite as much work. And that's always wonderful on day three of a tournament. But I have overheard conversations with many community judges in the past who have come in and just left so energized and so optimistic, feeling like, okay, if these young people are in charge of our future in some small way, maybe the world isn't completely hopeless.
I believe it.
Yeah.
So it can be a very, very positive, very energizing experience, even for someone who just comes for 2 or 3 hours to a tournament to judge. And anyone is qualified to judge. If you are an adult who has eyes and ears and a heart to help, you can be a judge. The one exception, and I really appreciate this, is that anyone who judges an apologetics event has to affirm the Nicene Creed before they come into the round, which I think is a common sense.
Yeah.
Common sense sort of policy. But again, anyone listening to this podcast probably will have no trouble and actually great delight in clicking the button that says Nicene Creed. Yes.
Yes.
So that's what I have. Thanks for allowing me to nerd out about one of my favorite things today.
This is fun.
Yes.
Yeah. I love last minute podcast ideas. I learned so much. Oh, this is so great. Ladies, if you have your own speech and debate stories, we'd love to hear them. Or if you're now like super interested and want to know more, you can tell us that too. You can join our Facebook group, the Lutheran Ladies Lounge on Facebook, or follow our Instagram page at Lutheran Ladies Lounge and comment on any of the posts that will happen after this podcast drops. You can find all of our episodes at KFUO.org/Lutheran Ladies Lounge or on your favorite podcasting app or on the KFUO radio app. You're listening to the Lutheran Ladies Lounge podcast. I'm Sarah.
I'm Erin.
And I'm Rachel. Thank you for judging.
Views and opinions expressed on the Lutheran Ladies Lounge podcast may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO Radio, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. The Lutheran Ladies Lounge is produced by KFUO Radio and available at KFUO.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and leave a review for us too. If you love the Lutheran Ladies Lounge podcast, consider financially supporting our producer, KFUO Radio, so we can keep doing what we do. Find out how at KFUO.org/give.